This is the Smart Poker Study Podcast for players who are always striving to be better today than they were yesterday. Through strategy discussions, Q&As, and poker pro interviews, we'll dive deep into everything related to poker tactics, study techniques, and the mental side of the game. All in an effort to improve your skills, maximize your profits, and to make you a lifelong successful player. This podcast is brought to you by SmartPokerStudy.com, and I'm your host, Sky Matsuhashi. Poker people, make sure you check out episode 21, where I showed you how to get the most out of every poker strategy book you read, and to ensure you put to use the valuable lessons contained within. Hey, poker people. Today is day 24 of my 30-day challenge to release a new podcast every day. I'm 80% there. If I quit now, I get a B-. That's not good enough for me. And like I said before, and I try to instill this in my boys, Matsuhashis don't quit. So we're going to keep on keeping on here in the 30-day challenge. So on to skill number 6 in Ed Miller's book, The Course. This is the 6th in a 10-episode series where I break down an important aspect within each chapter of the book, and today we'll cover skill number 6, which is making live reads. So for an overview of this episode, like the previous episodes in the series, I'll go through the 6th chapter by hitting each step in my 7-step process to getting the most from poker books. We'll discuss the importance of reading tells from bet sizing and why you don't always want initiative in every hand you play. We'll look at bet sizing through 2 different hand histories of my own, then I'll challenge you to play some focus sessions where your sole intent is to glean info about the strength of your opponent's hand through their bet sizing. And if you haven't done so already, download the 7 Steps to Poker Book Learning PDF from today's show notes at smartpokerstudy.com/pod30 and follow along using that sheet with everything we're talking about today. Now here it is, today's podcast mission. My mission for today is to show you how to look for bet sizing tells from your opponents. Okay, so let's get into it. If you have that 7 Steps PDF open in front of you, skill number 1, of course, is to skim. Now, I've got the book right in front of me here. So looking at this first page, the title of this chapter is skill number 6, making live reads. He starts off discussing the previous skills and how they lead into this one. He says here, and I quote, "The most important live read is the bet sizing tell." Nice. That is good to know. There's a header here, bet sizing tells. This is the meat of the chapter, and it goes on for many pages and talks about a lot of opponent bet sizing tells, as well as dissecting your own bet sizing tells. So that's good stuff. The next header is physical appearance. So I guess this is basically for live games there. And the next header is betting fashions. And looking through this, it looks like this is about following how others bet. There is another header here about physical tells. Great. Maybe like twitching at the table, holding your hands, looking down, looking up, whatever. And the final header is on final thoughts. So looks like some pretty good stuff in this chapter. It's 22 pages long, and it's mostly about bet sizing tells, which is great because that's exactly what we need to help us to dissect our opponents in online play. So on to step number 2 in the 7-step process here, which is set a goal. And now that we have a basic understanding of the chapter, we want to read it productively and effectively. To do this, I've devised 3 questions, and finding the answers to these is our goal while reading. So question 1 is, what skills can I learn from this chapter? And I'm so pumped to learn about bet sizing tells, not only to exploit my opponents, but to learn what tells I might be giving off myself so I could just cut that crap out, you know? Question number 2 is, why are these skills important or relevant to my game? The more of our opponent's mistakes that we pick up on, the more we can exploit them. And when playing online, like I mostly do, I don't have a lot of physical appearance or micro tells that live poker pros talk about. Bet sizing is one of the best tells I've got to work with online. And question number 3 is, how can I implement these skills in my game? So let's read on and find out how we can practice our bet size reading skills. So step number three in the seven-step process is, of course, to read, and oh boy, that is a killer chapter. I fully recommend picking up this book, as there's so much here that I can actually dedicate like four episodes to this one topic of bet sizing tells, but I'm only doing this one. And so one thing that Ed Miller said that I really like to focus on is, if you're the one betting or raising, then you're the one potentially giving off bet sizing tells, and your opponents have no opportunity to give them to you. Say what? Let me read that again. If you're the one betting or raising, then you're the one potentially giving off bet sizing tells, and your opponents have no opportunity to give them to you. That is amazing. Raise your hands if this is a new concept to you. Come on, don't be shy. Yep, I'm right there with all of you. I'm right in line with you who are raising your hands. Until I read this chapter, this is an idea I've never thought about. You know, I often try to take the initiative in every hand I play to either get value when I've got a strong hand or to blow him off his hand when he's weak. With this new way of thinking, we can let our opponent take initiative, not always, of course, but sometimes, and based on his bet sizings, we can determine if a call is in order, a fold, or maybe a bluff raise is in order. It's fucking genius, I tell you. All right, so after reading, of course, step four is summarizing and analyze. And to summarize this idea from the book, if you're doing all the betting, you're limiting the info you can gain from your opponents. No bet sizing tells equals less info for you to exploit. And we need to be patient and play out hands through the turn and river to catch our opponents making bet sizing errors. And lastly, for the summary here, sometimes it's a good idea to just flat call the flop to see what your opponent does on the turn. Raising to gain the initiative isn't always the best play. So for analyzing this whole idea, to examine bet sizing tells, we really only need to look at one thing: hands that went to showdown. We've got to see what our opponents had to know what their sizings meant on each street. So choose a date and filter for simply showdown hands. As we review the hands, while looking specifically for bet sizing tells, make a list of the different sizings along with what they meant. I suggest looking at these sizings: a min bet, a min raise, a half pot bet, two-thirds pot bet, three-quarter pot bet, a pot size bet, and more than a pot size bet. I also suggest recording the reasons you think they had for whatever bet size they used. I use value bets, bluff bets, weak hands or even draws, and scared. And scared, of course, is when they have a good hand, maybe top pair weak kicker, maybe top pair and a good kicker, but the board is wet. They don't want you to draw out, so they bet heavily to force you out. That's what a scared hand is. And the reason for using a sheet like this during your studies is to help you spot patterns, and it keeps you focused on the task at hand, which is examining bet sizing tells. And you can see an example of the kind of sheet that I use for this in the show notes at smartpokerstudy.com/pod30. So let's look at an example hand that I played about a week ago or so. My opponent had king-queen in the cutoff. I had 7-6 of clubs on the button. So he opened and I called pre, and the big blind called as well. The flop came down 4-5 king with two clubs. So I had the open and a straight draw and the flush draw. Not enough flush draw, just a flush draw. So I had a great, great hand. My opponent bet two-thirds pot, and remember, he had king-queen, so he had top pair with a good kicker, not top kicker, but a good kicker, the queen. So he bet two-thirds pot, and I called, and the big blind folded. And I marked down this bet of his as a value bet, because he's a competent reg, and so I just figured it was a value bet, not a scared bet at all. Even though the board is a little wet, it's not a scared bet just yet. And I needed 29% equity to call, and with 15 ounce, I actually had 60% chance of hitting my draw. So I was fine with that call. It was a great call. And, you know, I could have raised there as well, but just calling without the made hand yet, I was in position. I can assess the turn and maybe go for some extra value if I hit my draw on the turn. So that's why I just called. And I was fine if the big blind called as well, because that just sweetens the pot with my great draw, you know, higher implied odds with more players in with such a great draw. But he ended up folding, so it was just heads up to the turn. The turn came a nine of hearts, so the board reads 4-5 king 9 with two clubs. The heart didn't do anything, of course. So my opponent decided to bet out again 3-quarter pot. He upped his bet probably because of the very wet board. That 9 actually puts gives a queen jack or a queen 10 an additional draw right there. So he was probably a little bit scared, but I still think this is mostly a value bet, and he's trying to charge more for the draw, so he upped his bet from 2/3 to 3-quarter pot. And with this bet, the 3-quarter pot bet, I needed 30% equity to call, and I still had 15 ouch. 15 outs, which is just about 30% to hit, so I called again, of course. And the river was the 10 of clubs. So I hit my flush right there. It's just a 7-high flush. Not great, but most likely he wasn't barreling the flop and turn with a flush draw, so most likely I had the best hand right here. Board's not paired, so I don't have to worry about full houses or anything. He checked to me, and he was probably scared that I hit my flush, and I assumed he had some kind of a king, so I bet half pot for value, hoping that he'd call. And he actually called, and I took it down with my flush, you know, so I got to see his hand, and his hand made sense, his bet sizing made sense, and his bet sizing told exactly the hand that he had, you know, top pair with a decent kicker, kind of worried about a draw. So from that hand, I marked down that a 2/3 pot bet and a 3/4 pot bet were both value bets. But it's interesting to note that he increased the turn bet for either extra value or to try and discourage draws even more. And I know that I've seen this kind of bet plenty of times, and I've done it myself. You know, you up your bet on further streets because you just kind of assume your opponent is still on that draw because he didn't raise you on the flop. Yeah, so I've seen that plenty of times, of course. And I also marked down my own river bet of a half pot as a value bet on my note sheet there as I was tracking, you know, bet sizes. Now, getting back to what Ed Miller said about having initiative through the hand, meaning that your opponent can't give off bet sizing tells. Well, in the previous hand, the fact that I was just calling, he had no idea what I had. I could have had a king jack for a worse king. I could have had two pair. I could have had a set that I was letting him value own himself, or I could have had exactly what I had, which was a draw, you know. So I've got another hand that kind of illustrates this aspect as well. When you're not betting, you're not giving away much about the strength of your hand. So in this next hand, my opponent had jack 10 suited in the hijack. I opened under the gun with pocket queens, and I opened to 3 big blinds. He called, and the blinds folded, the cutoff of the button also folded. So it was heads up to the flop. The flop came jack 10 3 rainbow. So he flopped 2 pair. I had the overpair, of course. And with the rainbow, you know, I'm not worried about a flush draw at all. There is, of course, a possible gut shot or a straight draw, you know, with the jack 10 out there. If he called me with broadways, he's got lots of different draws now, plus an overcard. Like, he could have called with just ace king or ace queen. He's got the overcard outs with the ace as well. So with the queens on the jack 10 3 rainbow, I bet out half pot for value, and he called. So at this point, he could have been calling with a pair, two pair, a set, an open and a straight draw, a gut shot, or an under pair like 7-7, and just didn't believe me. You know, his call kept his range super wide. If he had raised there, you know, he has two pair. If he had raised, I can put him on either, you know, a draw like a king queen, or a two pair or a set. So it would have narrowed his range down if he had chosen to raise. He didn't, so his range was super wide. The turn came an 8 of spades, putting 2 spades on the board and completing some possible draws, you know, with the 8-10 jack, a queen 9 or a 7-9 has a straight now. But I decided to keep the pressure on, and I bet half pot again. I think I made this sizing of a bet because I didn't know what he had, and his range was still super wide. Plus, he could have hit his draw, and if he raised me here, I could either call a small bet or possibly fold to an oversized bet, just depending on, you know, his raise sizing. He called, so his range is still super wide, as he could have anything that he called with on the flop. I mean, if he had a set, he could have tried gone for extra value, or he could have just let me value own myself, and with him being in position, he would make sure that the river wouldn't go by without a bet coming in. So he could have had nothing. He could have had a great hand and just letting me value own myself, you know. So the river came down a 2 of clubs after he called my turn bet, and I didn't know where he was at, and 3 streets of value with an overpair on this board wasn't too appealing to me. So I checked with the intent of calling most bets, because he could do so with weak pairs and missed draws. I didn't want to bet and get raised and have to fold a winner or call with a weaker hand. You know, I didn't want to lose too much to this pot. He decided to bet after I checked. He decided to bet a half pot, and I viewed this as a blocking bet / bluff, so I decided to call, and I was bummed to see him turn over jack 10 for 2 pair. And I understand, though, his calling the flop and turn and not raising to give away the strength of his hand. And this is an instance where a check earlier in the hand could have given me more info into the strength of his hand, as well as if he had decided to raise at some point, that could have given me more info as well, and I could have saved that river bet that I made, you know, or that I called, I should say. And it's not a play I would always make, you know, checking or allowing the opponent to take initiative, but it's at least an option now that I know about it. And when you're reviewing hands, look at your own bet sizing as well. I often catch myself making half-pot bets as bluffs, but I increase it to two-thirds or three-quarter pot when I'm going for value. I'm working on making my own bet sizing more consistent so I'm less easy for my opponents to read. All right, so after we spend some time doing some analyzing of our hand histories within our poker tracking software, now it's time for the most important part in the process, which is taking action on what we've learned. So now that we've done this analyzing on bet sizing, it's time to put our ideas to the test and practice reading bet sizes in a few focus sessions. And seeing as how every hand contains betting at some point, we should have plenty to think about and to test, you know, in our focus sessions. I suggest playing just two tables and watch every hand while paying particular attention to your opponent's bet sizings. Whether you're involved in a hand or not, when it gets a showdown, you should hit the replayer and see if his bet sizings made sense to you. Mark any interesting or confusing hands in your poker tracking software for you to really dissect in tomorrow's hand history review. And if you have no idea of the strength of an opponent's hand, consider checking and allowing him to take the lead. See if he does, and if so, what does his bet sizing tell you? When you see obvious bet sizing tells, I want you to make very specific notes on the opponents. Some notes that I've taken in the past are, quote, min opens with premium hands looking for a raise, and, quote, bets pot size bet on river for value to look bluffy. Those are some good notes that I've taken in the past. So pay attention to your own bet sizing as well, and try not to give off tells of your own in these focus sessions. And at the end of your session, answer the following questions. How do I feel about the session played? How did I like employing the skills I've learned? And do I think this skill has some value, and does it merit further review before fully integrating it into my repertoire? Okay, step 6 in this process is assessment. And the next day, you'll do an assessment of your hand history review for the session. Filter for all hands that went to showdown, and pay attention to any hands that you marked for review. Continue to track the bet sizes and reasons for bets as you see them in your note sheet. And the final step in this process is rinse, repeat, review. Now that you've made the initial assessment, it's time to take action again in another session and try to read the strength of your opponent's hands through their bet sizings. Just repeat steps 5 to 7 here for a few more sessions until you feel you've got a great grasp of bet sizings your opponents use. And this is the kind of thing you'll want to do every time you move up in levels or if you play on a different site. You know, people often follow the crowd, so bets can differ based on the stakes that you play and the site that you play on. Challenge! Here's my challenge to you for this episode. Purposely play at least 3 sessions where your focus is on reading your opponent's bet sizes. Keep a note sheet in front of you and make a tick mark every time you're correct on your read, and another tick mark for every time you read the bet incorrectly. See how you progress in this regard over these 3 sessions, and use your daily study time effectively by filtering for showdown hands and spending the entire time analyzing bet sizes. Now it's your turn to take action and do something positive for your poker game.
Oh, that's it now. Get out there and be somebody. Go write a book.
Alrighty, to recap the episode, we talked about skill number 6 in the course and learned that bet sizing is an extremely important tell that we can get from our opponents. We also learned that having initiative in the hand doesn't give us any bet sizing tells on our opponents, but it allows them the opportunity to gain insight into our hands. I went over a couple hands where I looked at bet sizes, and I challenged you to play some focus sessions with the sole intent of analyzing your opponent's bet sizes. Please go to the show notes page at smartpokerstudy.com/pod30 for everything mentioned here, and make sure you pick up the 7 Steps to Poker Book Learning PDF while you're there. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for listening today. Send me your constructive feedback through the show notes page. You can also send an email to sky@smartpokerstudy.com, tweet me @smartpokerstudy, or post in the Facebook group @smartpokerstudy.com/discuss. And send me those cues for the Friday episodes. Tomorrow is a Q&A. I've got a few questions, but I can always use some more. Alrighty, poker people, be sure to come back for tomorrow's episode number 31, where I answer some of your questions in another listener Q&A. I'll continue in Ed Miller's book, The Course, for skill number 7 on Saturday. Word of mouth is the best advertising, and a recommendation from you to your friends is most appreciated. If you enjoyed our time together and learned a little something, please share it with some of your chums. Until next time, study smart, play much, and make your next session the best one yet.